Douglas Crook,
Sunday AM,
October 9th, 2011.
Let's open this morning, if you would, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15. We'll read verse 13, a very short verse, but so full of glorious truth. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 reads this way. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of all hope, may He fill you with joy and peace, that we might abound in hope. And for those who may not understand how the Bible uses the word hope, it talks about a certain expectation. It's not, maybe it will happen, I really wish it would happen. But when the Bible speaks of hope, especially when we come to the New Testament, it's speaking of a certain expectation that it's not if it will happen, it is simply when it will happen, when God orders it in His time. Only the gospel can give hope. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can give this kind of certain expectation. And the expectation is of that which is good and beneficial, pleasant, and profitable. Some things that you know are going to happen and they're not so good. But when we're talking about the hope of the gospel, and when we're talking about the God of hope that wants us to abound, overflow in hope, it's the expectation of that which is good and pleasant, that which is beneficial, that which is profitable. And as I said, only the gospel of Jesus Christ can give that. Only the gospel can produce the peace and the joy that's mentioned here. And the reason is because everything else that man hopes in, everything else that man has put certain expectations in to be to their best interest, whether it be as an individual or a society, sooner or later that hope will fail. Only the eternal God is the God of hope, because only the eternal God will be around to see to it that the things that He's promised us to, the things that He's told us we can expect, He's going to be around to see to it that they are fulfilled. So only the one who has been here forever and will be here forever can give us such certainty in the things that He has promised, in the things that He has prepared. Life is so full of changes, isn't it? And most of them are unwanted and unpleasant. Not all of them, but as you get older, you know that the reality of life is nothing stays the same. Just in our person, in our physical bodies, we are all less than what we used to be. That's a reality that you can do things to prolong your health and your strength, and you should. You should be a good steward of your body. But when it's all said and done, the Bible teaches it clearly, these bodies are corruptible and that they are perishing. And so this is why everything else that man hopes in is so futile, because death robs everything, causes everything else to stop. All of the things, the good things that you expected, you may actually enjoy them till the grave. But then death robs everyone of all other hopes. This is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is so unique. And this is why in the day and age in which we live in, we must constantly be reminded about what we are here for. What we have, what has been placed within these earthen vessels that are fragile and are corruptible and are passing away. But within these clay vessels, we've been given a treasure that will never pass away. It is the very gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the message of the cross. And the reason that hope is so eternal is because it's based in God Himself. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, I'll read it to you, but if you're taking notes, you're welcome to write down that reference. It should be a familiar one to many of you. God promised His earthly people Israel this promise. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That promise is true for the nation of Israel, but it's also true for God's earthly, or for God's heavenly people, the church, the body of Christ. His plans for us, His thoughts. And just even think about that. You know, the Almighty God is thinking about you today. What comfort and joy it brings just to know you have friends and loved ones that are thinking about you. that are praying for you, and how lonely and discouraging and depressing it is in those times when you may feel right, either rightfully so or maybe in your own imagination, that nobody's thinking about you. That's pretty depressing, isn't it? Saints, the Almighty God's thinking about me today. And you know what his thoughts are? They're thoughts of expectation, a future, and a hope. This world is not going to find the joy and peace that it is seeking. It's not going to find it any lasting hope in anything. If you watch the news, whether we talk about the broad perspective of the nations, war, terrorism, or we begin to look at the social and economic gloom that is out there in our own society and all around the world, there are a lot of people that are hopeless today. They are without hope. They are depressed, they are discouraged, and they have no expectation of anything good because of their circumstances. This is the world that you and I are sent to with a message. Many are putting their hopes in politics. We're in that season again. But saints, the hope of humanity is not found in politics. They're not going to make things better. Even those that are good and sincere, and I believe that there are some in that circle. They may be rare, but I believe there are some. But even the sincere and noble are not going to bring hope. I've got in my notes here one of the many examples of people that call me. This particular one, I won't give you the details. I'm going to skip over it this morning. But it's a regular occurrence that people either stop by the church here or they call me on the phone. And the stories that they give me, they are heartbreaking. And some of them, I believe, are very real and very genuine. Others, of course, there are those that just like to work the system. But the reality is there are families and there are individuals that are without hope. They are suffering from physical needs. They're suffering from a loss of job. They're suffering from families being broken. And you all have the same experiences in wherever you are. You know people like that. What do they need? Well, they think they need whatever immediate help that they're asking for and that they're pleading for. And if the Lord leads, that may be an open door, certainly. But that temporary help is not the hope. It's not going to give them any lasting hope. What they need is the hope that comes from believing in the God of hope. That's what's going to lead to joy and peace, and nothing else will. Let's go to Romans 15 and verse 4 to emphasize that the hope that comes from the gospel comes by believing. It's not enough just to hear. In the society in which we live, there's probably very few that have not heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The example that I was going to read, actually the individual broke down and after he cursed me a while, about how he is so against organized religion and the hypocrites and all of those things, and he was just burnt out on religion. He was raised in church, so none of these things were new to him. But he didn't have the hope of the gospel because he simply didn't take God at his word. He didn't build his life based on what God had promised. So the hope that and the joy and the peace that come from that hope, it's in believing. And this is stated again in Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Why? That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. No one will ever have this kind of certain expectation of good things without knowing and believing the scriptures. It is really the only source. And this is why we put so much emphasis on the Word of God in this assembly. Having a concert or some social program may minister to certain temporary needs, and so they're not bad in and of themselves, and they have a place. But those things are not going to give you hope. Only the Word of God can do that, and only believing the Word of God. It's not surprising then that the world has so much unrest and sadness and discouragement and hopelessness. We shouldn't really expect anything else. But to me, one of the most tragic things is that so many Christians find themselves in a state, in a condition of hopelessness. They don't possess the joy and the peace that Paul talked about when he wrote to the Romans. So many of God's people are not characterized by being full of glory. They're not characterized by a peace that passes understanding. And that's what's so sad, because we are the very messengers of the message of hope, and yet we ourselves are not an illustration of that hope. And so this is why we must refresh ourselves as well, before we can ever go out and give the world the message of hope that they need. We need to live that message. We need to be full of joy and peace. And saints, there are so many things in this life and so many things in our relationships and our experiences that would rob us of those things. Satan is, he's very faithful at what he does. And he destroys God's people. He destroys assemblies. He destroys our attention on the things that matter. And this is why we must return in our own lives to this place, the God of all hope. He is my joy. He is my peace in believing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, when writing to the Ephesians, if you're taking notes in Ephesians 1, the whole passage of the prayer, Paul in that passage is 15 to 23. But one of the petitions of his prayer is this for the Ephesian saints and for all of us. In Ephesians 1 and verse 18, he says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you might know not just head knowledge, but that you might experience what is the certain expectation of what God has called you to as one of his children. This is a prayer we need today. We need to understand. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us who we are and what God has for us, not only in the future, but what he has for us now, the full spectrum of what we can expect, because God has called us to be his children. So I want to remind us of our hope in Christ. Basic stuff. But when we find ourselves not enjoying the benefits of the gospel as a child of God, you know what we need to do? We need to go back to basics. That's true in anything, whether you're talking about business or sports. You know, when these high-dollar athletes, when they begin to have a slump, you know what they do? You know what their trainer tells them to do? Just go back to basics. Oh, but you know, I've made millions of dollars and I've been successful. Yeah, but you're not doing well now. You go back to basics. Same way in business. It's the basic business principles. Saints, in our spiritual life, when we are not enjoying, and be honest before the Lord, are you where you want to be with God? Is your, I'm not asking about your circumstances. I'm asking about your heart. Are you rejoicing in the Lord this morning? Do you have peace that passes understanding? I hope that you will be able to answer yes to those questions. But I know in my own experience, there are times when I go through circumstances and situations where I can't honestly say yes. And you might be there too. Let's go back to the basics. What is our hope? What we're going to quickly discover, and this is why I think so many Christians make the mistake, our hope is first and foremost a future hope. And that's what most Christians don't want to hear today. Because the most popular message of the biggest growing churches in America today, you know what their expectations, what they tell their people to expect today? It all has to do about this life. You expect God to do this today in your life. That's the hope of the gospel. But saints, that's a corruption of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, just because that's a pretty strong statement, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:19 to understand where I'm coming from. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. We are going to find out that we do have certain expectations in this life, but it's because of our future eternal hope. And until we get focused on the eternal, we will not be able to enjoy the hope that we have right now in this life. If we get the cart before the horse, it's not going to function. So we have to start in the right order. And this is why Paul wrote the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:19. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Now my statement doesn't seem so harsh, does it? The Apostle Paul said, if the hope of the gospel has mainly to do with this life and this life only, man, we are miserable. But Paul knew that the saint of God was not miserable, but highly blessed. But it's because our hope is an expectation for that which is prepared for us after life. Let's go to Titus 1. It is the hope of eternal life that will fill you with joy and peace. And we will find out how that future expectation is going to give you strength and wisdom and blessing right now in this life. But it's because of this future expectation. Now, when I say future, the child of God already possesses this eternal life. But we are looking forward to the full manifestation of that eternal life, which is not now. It's in the future. And this is why Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 1, verses 1 through 4, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching. There it is again. You cannot have this hope apart from knowing and believing the word of God, which was committed to me, Paul said, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our hope is a living hope. It is the hope of eternal life. Peter, in 1 Peter 1, he wrote to the believing Jews there, and he said that he has begotten us. God has begotten us. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's because of this future hope we have an understanding that God is going to bless us beyond this life. My hope won't die when this body's put in the grave. To me, one of the most precious things is to see older saints as they come to the end of their career, they come to the end of their life, and when they are completely limited as to what they can do, yet within them there is still a joy and a peace that goes beyond their circumstance. And then to me, it's tragic when I see the other side of that coin, when so many are so overwhelmed, and if they simply don't feel good, then they are miserable. And when I say that's not a judgmental statement, because I've been there. I know what that feels like, and to a degree at least. I've seen younger ones, not only older ones, but I've seen my own daughter in that same position. But I've also seen, and my daughter is an example, who passed away at 14, for those who may not be aware of that. And I've seen her come to a place, there's a track act there that explains one of those episodes that she had. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to her is that, you know, why? She basically spoke to herself like King David, why, soul, am I cast down? And she said, if God's on my side, why would I be feeling sorry for myself? And saints, we need to constantly come to that place to understand that even when these bodies fail, when circumstances and situations limit, even when it's not physical, but when it's economic or in any other limitation, to understand I have eternal life. And it doesn't matter if this trial brings me to my grave. My hope goes beyond the grave. I'm going to live eternally with my Heavenly Father. When I die, I know my expectation, my certain expectation, is that my soul and my spirit will go immediately into the presence of God. There's so many things about death that just frighten us, because it's unknown. But saints, because I believe the word of God, I know what awaits me when I die. You can't find that assurance anywhere else but in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that my spirit and my soul will immediately, to be absent from the body, Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. What a glorious expectation. And I know the eternal God will make it happen. There's coming a day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to rise. Because that's my hope. My certain expectation. I will be brought into an eternal inheritance. In this world I may not have much. I certainly have more than so many that are poverty stricken, not only around the world, but even in our own country. I am rich in natural things in so many ways. But as far as the world standard is concerned, I'm not so rich. But saints, I have an inheritance that's waiting for me. And I'm ready for it. And I expect it, because the eternal God has prepared it for me. One day, no matter how much I cry in this life, no matter how much pain I experience in this life, my expectation is one day there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more death. Colossians chapter 1. And until we get this eternal heavenly perspective, until we understand that this is what our hope is founded on, you're not going to be able to enjoy this life as you should. You're not going to be characterized by joy and peace. But in Colossians 1, verses 25 to 27, Paul clearly states what the hope of the gospel is. Many of the so-called prosperity and faith preachers today will tell you that the hope of the gospel is all about never being sick, never having a tragedy, never having a lack of funds. That's what they will tell you the hope of the gospel is. But that's not what the Apostle Paul said the hope is. Of which I, Paul says, became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is that future eternal glory. This is the foundation of the hope that leads to joy and peace. And if you try to focus on this life first and foremost, then you have no foundation and your hope will crumble. You will be disappointed. And those that have followed the prosperity message sooner or later, their hope crumbles. I've seen it time and time again. Whatever happens to me between now and then, I know already what my end will be. Can you say that about anything else? I know what my end will be. I don't know everything in between, but I know the one who does. And he's already promised that he will protect me and provide for me, lead me and guide me as I pay attention to his guide, the Holy Spirit. He's already said he'll take care of me between now and then. But he said, but this is what I got for you. Are you ready? Do you believe it? And saints, that does bring joy. In whatever tragedy in life that you face, this is the thing that will give you peace and joy, even in the midst of tears, even in the midst of confusion and questions. Every child of God has this expectation. Now, it's because of that future expectation, I also have hope today. Because I know that's sure. I can have certain expectations for today. Now, there's a popular TV evangelist that coined the phrase, some of you will recognize it, expect a miracle today. Now, what that evangelist meant by that was expect God to do something extraordinary every day in your life, to just divinely, miraculously intervene whenever you need it. Well, I don't believe that. Now, I do believe the statement itself, if you qualify it, I do believe it. I do expect God to be faithful every day of my life. And that is a miracle. That's a miracle in and of itself. Most often he uses ordinary, common things. But I understand something, that it's by his constant mercy and faithfulness that I am what I am and that I have what I have. I fully expect my Father to work all things for my eternal good, because I know he's got something prepared for me. He's guarding my inheritance and he's guarding me. And so I know that even when I go through difficult, unwanted circumstances, I know something. God is working that for my good, because that's what he told me I could expect from him. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 to 18. You see, those who do not first get rooted and grounded in the eternal hope of Christ in you, the hope of glory. If it's all about God, I never have a problem. I'm sick. I never have relationship problems. If that's the hope, do you see that when you experience those things, and saints, I honestly don't know how these guys keep their following, because it's nothing but a bold-faced lie, and yet people swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Life is not that way. Not even for the child of God. Men and women of faith, why do you think we have those examples in Scripture? Did men and women of faith that God has clearly spoken to have his approval, did they have problems? Did they have issues? Did they have relationship problems? You just go down the line. Moses, Joseph, Jacob, David. Problem after problem after problem. But they understood something. That God was working in and through those things. That's the miracle I expect every day. In things that would make me sad, and often I allow them to make me sad. When I allow my eyes to get off the author and the finisher of my faith, Jesus Christ. When I become distracted, and then I begin to lose the joy and the peace that the Lord wants me to have. It's because I've gotten my eyes off of the eternal perspective. But when I turn back to what Jesus has waiting for me, to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, if I'm willing to suffer with Him, I understand, you know what? God's doing something right now in me. God's doing something through me. Right in the midst of the circumstance. I may not understand it yet, but I have certain expectation that God will fulfill His promise. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes. You believe that? Everything you go through as a child of God, living by faith and obedience to His word, all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. There it is again. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How long is that inward man for? He's eternal. It's the very life of Christ. These bodies, they're not made for heaven. That's why we're going to get a new one. It's okay that these bodies are deteriorating. It just means we're closer. For our light affliction, Paul says, which is but for a moment, in the light of eternity, is working for us, not against us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight or measure of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, your present circumstances, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Saints, because I understand that God is doing something for eternity's sake, even in the midst of my sorrows and difficulties, I can be full of joy and peace. To know that my suffering is not in vain, it's not pointless. And saints, if I'm going to suffer, I want it to count for something. Our own sinful choices, they lead to suffering that counts for nothing. But saints, when we trust the Lord, when we rejoice in Him, when we allow the Holy Spirit to encourage us and strengthen us in the hope of eternity, then God's doing something in us. Romans chapter 5, Paul puts it this way. Again, just so you know that I'm not being fanatical here. Paul uses, again, some pretty strong terms. And our joy and peace and our hope come from believing these words and acting accordingly. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the provisional peace that we have. Through Him we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. There is that eternal standing in the grace of God. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that future hope. But, Paul says, because we have that hope, in verse 3 he says, and not only that, but we also glory right now in tribulations. Are you serious? To boast in tribulations? The joy and peace come from believing. He goes on to say, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. That is proven character. And character, hope. Expectation. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given us. We can glory in tribulation right now in this life because through the trial, when I learn to patiently wait on God for His strength and His guidance, and when I find joy and peace in the midst of tears in a situation and a circumstances that just ought to overwhelm me and cause me to be hopeless, when I find myself going through a circumstance and I find myself praising God anyway, you know what that proves to me and to others that look around, because those that know me, that's not Doug. Doug gets grumpy. He's upset. Doug gets grumpy, gets mean when things aren't going the way he should. But something's going on. He continues to praise and to serve and to worship the Lord. He continues to minister to others. And what they're seeing, you know what they're seeing? It's the divine life of Christ. And that patience, that Christ in them, is the proven character that's being seen. Tribulation leads to patience when we surrender to the will of God. Tribulation leads to patience. Patience leads to a proven character, which is the very life of Christ. And when the very life of Christ, that daily miracle, is seen in us, it causes us to understand, because Christ is in me, it's Christ in me, what? The hope of glory. A hope that will not disappoint. Is Christ being seen in you in the midst of your tribulation? He can and he will. He'll surprise you. You'll be surprised what the Lord can do in you and through you, because it's God that does the work. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 15 to 17. It's because I have hope for eternity that I have hope in the midst of tribulations. And it's because of my eternal expectation that I also know that I can be a faithful believer right now. That I can continue to be the messenger he wants me to be. When I speak of messenger, I'm talking about all of us, not just me as a preacher. But all of us have this opportunity to be used in the body of Christ to share others, to share with others this glorious message of hope. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So many Christians today make excuses for themselves and for their loved ones and say, well, you know, if this circumstance or situation didn't exist, I'd be a better Christian. Brother Doug, you don't know what I have to face. And the reality is, many times, I do not know. It's not my experience, and I can't pretend that I do know many of the things that many suffer. But the one who does know still makes this promise to you. If you will believe, he will establish you in every good word and work. This is my certain expectation. You know, there are some Christians that expect to sin every day. My expectation, as I yield myself to the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, my expectation is to live a life of godliness. Now, do I fail from time to time in that? Absolutely, so do you. But my expectation is not failure. My expectation is not sin and carnality. My expectation is that the Holy Spirit will establish me, because that's his promise. And saints, there is no greater life. There is no more joyous life than a life of godliness. We have a blessed hope. Well, I didn't get very far. Philippians 1 and verse 20 and 21, we'll close with this morning, with a song in closing. Is your heart full of joy and peace this morning? It doesn't matter what your circumstance or situation is. If you are trusting the God of hope, you will not remain hopeless. I won't say that you won't have times of hopelessness. We all do. But for the child of God, there is never a basis for that hopelessness, because we have a certain expectation. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And because of that hope, I have hope today in this moment. Paul wrote the Philippians in Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Saints, I daily want to come to the place where Paul makes that statement. And I can't say that I'm always there, but it is my desire. For me to live, no matter what I'm experiencing, good or bad, blessed or persecuted or whatever, I want people to see in me the very life of Christ. For me to live is Christ. And saints, when the time comes, he takes me home. Don't weep for me. I'll be in the presence of God. What a glorious expectation. Let's stand. We'll have a song in closing. What song you got there, Phil? 39. Number 39. Let's sing the first and last verses of page 39. The altars are open if you want to come and seek the Lord. If you're going through difficult times and you've been tempted, as many of us are from time to time, to fall into a place of despair and discouragement, come and let the God of all hope fill you with hope in believing.